ဟုတ်ကြည်တဲ့ဒီနေ့ရင်ပဲရင်ဒီဒီနေ့နေရောတပူတပူနာလာရဲ့ဖိမနလို့စမတ်တို့ဒါလို့စမစင်ညီတွေပါလို့တူတွေပါဒီနေ့ရောခြေလာသွန်တိဝတေရောကြောင့်ဒုတော့ကြောင့်မှသွန်ဟောတဲ့တိကျတဲ့နေ့ဒီနေ့မှာတော့ကဂွန်နေမှာနေကြီးခြေပါကြောင့်ဒီချက်တူအမှာပါကောကောလာတော့တင်မှာကောင်းတော်တော်ကိုချင်ပူကြည့်စိုးကြတိချင်းချင်းနဲ့ဟောတဲ့ချက်တူသံပြေကန်တဲ့ကြည့်စိုးရင်သူလိစုံတွေ့အောင်မှာချောင်းချောင်းရင်စာရီစမ်းနေရောခြေဖိမနရန်သူသူစမဝကြီးဒမ်နောတေဟမာကြောင့်ဒီနေ့ရောကြီးခြေလာပဲသေးနာဝကြီးလူခင်ကွန်ကြီးကမှာကြီးရင်းချံဖို့ကြီးကကြီးကြောက်ကကြောက်တော့ချင်ဖို့ကြီးမှာရှင်တော်တော်ကြဘုံထက်တင်တဲ့ယုံကြီးကြီးမှာရှိကတိကျွန်တော်တို့ကရကြီးကိုစသည်ငင်းငမန်းတဲ့ကြီးကခပ်ဆိုရရင်စတတန်တရအောင်တင်တဲ့ကခပ်ဆိုရင်ဝကြီးတန်ဂျမ်ဘိုကြီးကတင်ရရှိနေခပ်စွာကသွန်တွကြီးရောရင်တွင်ဒီတောင်းမေပချပန်တို့ရီတင်တဲ့ကသွန်တွကြီးကြွယ်ရင်နငိမရဒီကဒီတောင်းကြချင်ပေါ်ရင်ပဲရင်သူနောက်သွန်တွကြီးချောင်းမှန်သူဆံရောနောင်းအဖေဟောတဲ့တင်ရရှိနေတဲ့လူစမ်းစမ်းတချီကတောင်းပိုတီလူစမ်းစမ်းချင်းဟောတဲ့တို့ပါလေတလူစမ်းစမ်းစမ်းဒီဟောကြီးအတမွန်တဲ့ဆောင်လူကြီးကြီးပါတီတို့
So let's say after the first 3 years were, completed, were finished, but without any great results, Arya Sangha tried to leave the retreat but returned back. She remained for another 3 years, hoping for some results, for some signs of attainment, but again there were no signs. So at the end of 6 years, he felt that this was not leading anywhere, and he decided to leave his retreat place. And as he got up and he was ready to leave, he noticed one particular formation on the face of the rock. So there was this area where there was a little bit of a drop of water dripping from above, and these small drops of water have caused a basin down again, a very smooth surface onto the rock. And he looked at that and he said, if a small drop of water can cause, this change into the form, into the face of the rock, me who should have such determination and such great aims, how can I possibly abandon without having achieved anything? How can I abandon my practice? So back he went for another 3 years into retreat. The 3 years went by, so by now we're on the 9th year, and again there were no signs of attainment. And by that time, Arya Sangha was really fed up. So he said, that's it, I'm leaving this place. He started going down the mountain. And as he was walking down the mountain, he noticed one man who was working there. And he seemed to be working very hard and he was very absorbed with his work. So he thought, how strange, I should go and have a look. He saw this man, and next to him there was this mountain of metal, of iron. And this man was sitting there just holding a needle in his hand. So Arya Sangha said, what exactly are you doing? He said, well, I started with this huge mass of metal and I just, with a small file, I worked on it, so I just produced this one needle. And Arya Sangha thought, this person, he did all this massive work just to create one needle. Me, who have such a great goal, such a great objective, how could I possibly lack in enthusiastic effort? So back he went into the retreat, where he remained for another 3 years. So by now we have reached the 12th year of the retreat.
ဒီတော့တောင်းစီကြီးဥစားတိလာဖေကိုဝန်သူဆံဖေဘလမ်တနာဝဒီတော့ချမို့ကြီးမာရတိုတီကြီးချမွေးနံပါတ်တော်ယူတင်းငင်းမေတီချာဆောင်မာမကဆောင်နဝဒမကံကလာမာဘဘမာရောက်လင်းကြီးတင်တဲ့ကြီးမာဇူတေးဇူဘချင်းကျင်နဲ့ညင်ကြီးချင်းဘုသိမေပတ်ကြီးမာထောင်းဝဒညင်ကြီးချင်းဘုသိမေပတ်ကြီးထောင်းနဲ့တန်ဒီချမွန်ဒီဘဒီမာဇနန်တဲ့ချကန်ဒီဒဆာနာနဘာဂမရဆနာဘဒေယောချွန်ကြည့်လို့ကွန်ဒီချမောလာနုကွန်ဒီဆမ်နတင်းနီရင်ကြည့်လာကြည့်စရကြည့်ပတိကျနာကြည့်ရနဩဒနတေကကလေးကမရဘဒေယောလင်းကိုကွန်ဒီထကကွန်ဩဒနဇတေယောရောအတိကစီရောစောနဘဒီရှင်တို့ကထကကွန်လင်းကြည့်ကီလာရှာနီရှာကြည့်ရှာခကြည့်ကြည့်တီတန်လာ
At the end of the 12 years, there was still no sign of attainment. So Arya Sangha said, that's it, I'm putting an end to this retreat and I'm abandoning this meditation place. He left the cave and he walked down the mountain and he was about to reach the nearest village. And just at the outskirts of the village there, he came across a sight that he found very disturbing. There was an old beggar, a woman, and her body was completely covered with wounds, and the wounds were filled with maggots who were feeding on her flesh. And Arya Sangha felt very moved, and he thought, you know, I can't allow this to happen. This woman is tormented by the maggots. I need to remove the maggots. And then he thought, well, yes, but if I remove the maggots, I still have to provide for some sort of nourishment for them, because it would be unfair to deprive them of their meal. So immediately he started cutting off pieces of his flesh to prepare, let's say, to prepare a place where he could move the maggots and they could continue to feed. And then he started considering how it would be best to remove these maggots, because he thought if he were to do it with his own hands, because their body was so soft and slender, he thought, you know, I might crush them, I might cause them some unease. So he said, I couldn't possibly pick them up with my hands. The best way to pick them would be with my tongue. So having prepared the flesh, he thought, I'm ready now to pick up the maggots from the wounds of this woman, of this beggar. And although he had generated this incredible boundless compassion, both for the woman and the maggots, he still found the sight a little bit repulsive. So he closed his eyes as he was leaning forward to pick the maggots up with his tongue. And as he was doing that, the more he was pushing forward, the more he couldn't find the woman, he couldn't find the maggots. And finally he opened up his eyes, and there it was, Buddha Maitreya, right in front of him.
ဒီနေ့ယံပယံဒီတဲ့တင်တဲ့ကိုဒါသူဒီဒါအန်ဒီချင်းမှာကြီးမှာရှိသွားရင်သူဟိုဒီဒါသူဒီနေ့တော့ကြာဒါတနေ့ရောရှားကောင်းကျင်ကြီးတောက်ဖြူကြီးတဲ့ကျင်းချမ်းပါတဲ့လို့သမ္မာတိကျောင်းမှာကြောင်းရဲ့သူကျုတ်တီချက်တော်ပြီးတောက်ကံကလာရှင်းဆောင်ကြီးပါရှာချနာကြီးပါရှာဖာရောက်ပြီးတောက်စေပါဇူးနေငွေစွန်တွေ့ချောင်းဝညာမြေလှရတော့တယ်လို့သမ္မာတိကျောင်းရဲ့ငါကျင်လို့သမ္မာတိပါဒီတောက်မှာကျောင် 我们的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这 ji labar ji di banda ta ma san na chen den chala san na san ni ho na ban chi bi rong go lu ji sha chi ni banda ta so ri cha go gon di tang chi a jian da phe di sir ji pa tri ya di rong lu sha chi la pi long ni ban na chi ba ra gon di jian sam di jag ji long na chi mo me ba yi de jam gon tha pi sar ba ran ja ni ne jema ya chi do ge che ngar ji be jan di ma chi Kisir chatun jagu pon don yu ti de koma koma ba si ngi ti da dro jan sher ma ton be thuji thuji re chong si yu chi de shen che su re ji tan ji sa yi jagu cher ba jan chi so son de li ji de bin thong wa man ji nga ta de chu ji trong de ni jin ba yin o ji da din da yin ba yin du chu chu rong ge ji li de ge to ge nga ma thong a re ma to lu ji ni ge ji ren na chu de du na dong bo ni zong na nga chu ji trong na yo yo ba yin sin na ma song ne ji o da din da song wo du ji da
Rinpoche was just reading out the part of the text was describing these attempts during the 12 years of a retreat. And finally, when Arya Sangha directly met Maitreya, of course, he had this complaint and he said, where have you been for all these 12 years? And Buddha Maitreya said, I was there next to you right from the beginning. It was only due to your karmic obscurations that you couldn't see me. I was there since day one. And after that, Buddha Maitreya said to him, said to Aryasanga, you know, I can, in order for, you know, for your sake, in order for you to generate faith and to understand this whole issue of karmic obscurations, I think it's a good idea that we proceed together into the village. And the text continues by describing actually the perception of the villagers of what they saw. And it is said that from the whole population of the village, almost no one was capable of perceiving the form of the Buddha. No one could see Buddha Maitreya. Most of the people saw a meditator walking, or a man walking around carrying a piece of meat in his back. There was only an old woman who looked at it and was able to perceive Buddha Maitreya. And also it is said that there was a beggar who noticed that there was something unusual, that there was something extraordinary in that. And the biography continues by saying that these two beings who were capable of perceiving the reality or the way things were, they generated incredible concentration. They completed the training of their concentration and they proceeded along the path very quickly. And after Aryasanga was capable of directly perceiving Buddha Maitreya, Buddha Maitreya said, okay, so now what are your wishes? What would you like to have now? And as I say, Aryasanga had already great interest in studying the Prajnaparamita text, but there were some of them were very difficult, and especially the ones dealing with the hidden meaning of emptiness. So he said, well, I would really want to have some private teachings on the Prajnaparamita, if possible. So straight away, Buddha Maitreya led him up into the pure land of Ganden, where he had the possibility to have those teachings exactly according to his wishes in the most you know, precise and clear way. It is said that the time that Arya Sangha spent up in the Pure Land was anything between 25 and 50 years of earth time, but in their time it was something like 5 days. And during this time, he studied thoroughly those Prajnaparamita texts, and within them we have this collection of five texts, five topics, quite difficult topics. And from that onwards, the biography continues with a deed of composition that followed after that, because Arya Sangha, having received these teachings later on, he sat down and he put it into paper. Ramshi continued by giving us the transmission of the remaining of the biography, that especially the part that refers to the composition of various texts. Now, further down, the biography is actually dealing with a particular event, an anecdote that happened to Arya Sangha, and it has to do with the local authorities, let's say the Indian king at the time. Now, this Indian king was actually doubting whether Asanga was an Arya or not. And he said, I've heard so much about this meditator, I've heard so much about this being, and some say he's an Arya, but I really doubt it. So the king decided to put Arya Asanga through a test. Now, it is said that the land where the test took place must have been a place where the earth was really dark, really black. So what he did is he dug into the earth and he put a certain amount of white earth under the black one. So this was going to be the first test. He was going to ask, what is below my earth? Or what color is my earth? And the second test that he decided to take through Arya Sangha was that he took a golden vase, and within he filled completely the golden vase with filth, the most unclean substances. But then on top, he poured a little bit of honey. And he thought he would approach Arya Sangha and ask him these two questions. What lies beneath my earth, and what do I have, what do I carry in my hands? And he said that he had decided in his mind, if he can give me the right answer, then I'm going to acknowledge him as an Arya. And of course, you know, the examination took place, and Arya Sangha probably passed the test.
ဒီကုနာယံဒီတို့ဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒီဒ
Right, Ramji says that there is a little bit remaining in this biography, but we will not continue with that. Ramji has decided to stop here for tonight, but just to give you an idea, the reason why we spent the first session discussing the biography and the deeds of Arya Sangha is because, you know, he's the one who wrote down this particular text, Uttara Tantra, the sublime continuum of the Mahayana. Now, looking into this particular text, the text is made up of five chapters, but mainly, of course, here the teachings that were requested were teachings of the first chapter. Again, it is questionable whether we have time to fully go through the first chapter. It is made up of 160 verses, and it is quite elaborate. Now, the main subject that we are dealing in these texts is what is called the seven Vajra categories. And in the beginning of this, the first three of the seven Vajra categories is the three jewels, Buddha jewel, Dharma jewel, and Sangha jewel. And the fourth one is actually dealing with Buddha nature. And mainly this first chapter is dealing with this potential, this Buddha nature. So actually within the first chapter of the text we find a presentation of the Buddha jewel, the Dharma jewel, the Sangha jewel, as well as the Buddha potential. And after that, in the remaining chapters, we find the remaining three of those Vajra categories. So we will deal with enlightenment, which is the resultant state. We will deal with the qualities of the Buddha that are actualized, manifested at this resultant stage, as well as the enlightened activities of a Buddha. These three categories are dealt in the remaining chapters. We will not really be looking at those. Narambuddha said, although, as we say, we will start with the proper explanation of those first four of the seven Vajra categories tomorrow, it is a good idea to give you just a brief explanation of the three jewels. It is important to understand that when we talk about the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha jewels, this can be seen or can be understood at the time of the cause as well as at the time of the result. And when we talk about the three jewels at the time of the cause, actually we talk about an understanding of how it really works, how do we come to the point of actualizing such a state, such a result. And first of all, we need to understand the qualities and we need to set the attainment of such qualities as our goal. So at the time of the cause, we can contemplate about the qualities of the Buddha and we can understand that these qualities of the Buddha come through an understanding of the Dharma. And here we talk about a realization of the true path and the true cessation. This realization exists in the continuum of Arya beings and of the Arya Sangha. So right from the beginning, from the time of the cause, one could be contemplating what is the state, the resultant state and how that is achieved. So it is important to understand that those who have become Buddhas, you know, the future Buddhas, what they're doing right now is they're looking at the past and they're examining the Buddhas who have already come into this world. And they say, look at those Buddhas, how they became enlightened, how they realized the Dharma, how they developed these realizations. So if I set them as my, if I turn my attention towards them, if they become my goal in the future, I will also reach the state where I'll become the Buddha jewel. And at that time, within my continuum, I will have a perfect realization of the truth of the path and the truth of cessation, which means that at that time, I will also manifest, I will also actualize the Dharma jewel, and by doing that, I will be qualified to be called also the Sangha jewel. So this is how these states are attained. First of all, one understands their meaning, one sets them as a goal, and one proceeds along the path and goes through the five paths and eventually reaches the resultant state. So having explained very quickly, having given you these principles relating to the three jewels, it is also important to give you a very short introduction of the fourth of those seven Vajra categories, which is quite important. It is called potential, or the heart, or the essence of the Buddha, or Buddha nature. So we're using different terms for that. There are a number of verses actually dealing with this category, but there is one verse that actually is very good. It's very it describes this one in a very precise way. And it says, all embodied beings are said to always possess the heart of the Buddha because the body of a complete Buddha pervades all, because thusness is undifferentiated, and because they have Buddha nature. So actually, in this particular verse, there are three reasons that are given to establish why all sentient beings possess this essence or this potential. So first of all, this verse says that all sentient beings, they possess at all times this potential, this special quality, this ability to develop fully into Buddhas. And it says the first reason for that is because the body of a complete Buddha pervades all sentient beings. And here when he talks about the body of a complete Buddha, it's actually referring to the enlightened activities of all Buddhas. And Rinpoche started by giving a broad example here. And I was saying, you know, every time that we have a pleasurable experience, we have to look at the cause of this pleasurable experience. And the cause of that always has to be virtue. And this virtue is generated by something that has to do in relation to the Dharma. Let's say listening to the Dharma, practicing the Dharma, and so forth. Even if we look at very mundane or very ordinary experiences, such as, for example, enjoying a good meal, enjoying a good sleep, or enjoying a nice conversation, having heard something nice, something pleasant, the pleasure that comes from that is actually a result. And this result is the result of virtue. And this virtue has to have been established sometime in the past, and probably it was established with relation to the Dharma. So at some point in the past, one came in contact with Dharma, one listened to the Dharma. Maybe one was not fortunate enough to directly meet the Buddhas and receive the teachings from them, but nevertheless one can come in contact, let's say, with a continuum of teachings. And by listening to the Dharma, one gets inspired, one engages in practices, one engages in activities that generate virtue, and in the future that virtue generates pleasure or bliss and so forth. So you can see that actually the enlightened activity of the Buddha, which might have happened, you know, many, many years before, and you might think that it did not directly involve you and so forth, they spread out. And the first reason that establishes that we do have this potential is the reason that says that the enlightened activities of the Buddha, they spread out, they pervade everywhere. Enlightened activities of the Buddha are said to be like the rays of the sun. You cannot stop the rays of the sun from pervading the whole space. They go everywhere.
我觉得今天也没人读，我觉得今天当播的，当上可能出些日子，都不上几节课，春里个，我今天我听过的是你们我今天我听的当播，但你话的，今天你也没些当时读呢，我觉得，现在那几节的话，去他们几个店呢，东北那个马强也有啊嘛的，我就跟着个去他们去这里店呢，东北那个历史就有啊人读，东北那个历史广告小区的东呢。 东北人也不，日久不也不，也不人都，现在就现在女娃子跌倒，那跌倒人也没事的。但如果有这对呢，如果自己的，靠你养个女娃子，然后这，让人那个当金姐姐，如果你在呢，让人那个在姐姐，让人说是三个在那，大几岁啊？那些，从几头啊个女娃子有把的，三个三个东北人自己的，你这的喜欢人呢？ 我就你这的希望，咱们等你进了，他今年呢，当，现在今年呢，你个养个一万元的，我就让些你这个自己身边比当啊，刚刚认定的，如果你个那里，如果当不让些你这个自己跌当，我的如果你话今年几日自己的，你到几岁啊？那些，我就去个你这的当不俺们家个地，店里跌当三跌当，我们呢，推上去捡起，收单呢，就是谁拿了？ 我就没到也那前天也那，三帮就买了，咱们那等你吃当，那当做些个几件那么东北也那，等你也隔离隔离个人民，就呃尼玛当，人，大巴当，尼玛人民几个几个，江北几个些，顶过了没到这边也那，你为啥要去一万是吧？我在这今年几日自己，我在顶这个，嗯，人生生活底下呢，上街个你话有把的跌了，店里心里个人是上上的。
So the first reason that establishes that we all possess this Buddha nature is the reason that says that the enlightened activities of the Buddha, they pervade everywhere, they spread everywhere, right, like the rays of the sun, and eventually they will come in contact with us. The second reason, as presented in the verses, it says because vastness is undifferentiated. And here, vastness, the term vastness, of course, refers to the term emptiness. It's another word for emptiness. When it says it's undifferentiated, it means that emptiness exists for every phenomenon without distinction. Emptiness, in a sense, this essential quality of emptiness is the same for every conventional phenomenon. No matter how diverse things are, they all possess this nature of emptiness. And finally, we come to the third reason, where it says, because we all have this Buddha nature. Now, it is important to make a distinction here. When we talk about Buddha nature, we can actually talk about two natures. One is the essential nature, and the other is called the developing nature. When we talk about the essential nature, we talk about the essential nature of our mind. In other words, we're talking about the emptiness of our mind. And when we talk about the developing nature, we're talking about that thing that transforms, that develops within ourselves. Now, sometime before, I'm sure I was talking about the process of developing one's wisdom, of going through the stages of hearing, of reflecting, of meditating, and gradually developing one's mind. As we said, sometime in the past or sometime in the future, one will come in contact with the teachings. One will hear the teachings of the Dharma, and eventually this will have an effect on one's mind. It will bring about certain transformation. And it is very much like having, first of all, a seed, and allowing the seed to grow, to develop, providing the seed with the necessary conditions of the earth, the fertilizer, the water, the necessary temperature. And little by little, you will see this hard seed cracking up and sprouting. And after it sprouts, it will grow, it will develop, it will come, like, it will come and open fully like a flower. So this thing, you know, this whole process of transformation shows that there is a potential for such a change. This is a developing nature. Right, so as I said very quickly today, I gave you an idea of what these seven categories are about. As we say, the first chapter is dealing with the first four of these categories. The first three are the three jewels, and the fourth one is this important potential. They are explained and presented in the text in a very extensive way. We have to say there are many analogies, there are many examples that apply to the potential, and of course also the three jewels are presented in their own way. They are subdivided, the presentation is subdivided in different parts. We only have 7 days. In each day we have a session of 2 hours, so Rinpoche says I doubt that we will have the time to complete this first chapter. There is quite a lot involved in that. And Rupsha's idea is to spend these 2 hours every session as having an hour and a half of teachings and then having the last half an hour for questions and answers. Just looking at the whole schedule during this month, not only do we have teachings on the Uttara Tantra, the Sublime Continuum, but also we have a few days dedicated to a presentation and a commentary on the King of Prayer, Samantabhadra Prayer, and also there are 2 days that will be dedicated towards receiving the Great Generosic Empowerment.
So
Rinpoche thinks it's appropriate to stop here for today. Let's complete by offering the short mandala, and this will be followed by the usual dedication prayers.